wait, don't click away. I know that you have an itchy finger and you're ready to move on to the next Facebook post, but God may want you to hang around just to learn something from His Word today. Now, as I have checked on the views from Facebook, I have learned that the average viewer of my messages is about 6 minutes long, which means if I got a 30-minute sermon, you're missing three quarters of it. You may be missing something that God wants you to hear. So I'm going to ask you today just to hold on with me a little bit longer. I've shortened the message to less than 20 minutes, and I think if you'll hold on, God might just have something for you. Can you hang on with me for a little under 20 minutes and hear what that message is? Stay with me and get the full impact of God's message from His Word in James chapter 4 today. Now, this begins with a question. What have we learned from the COVID-19 pandemic? Bob Russell, one of my favorite preachers of all time, wrote in a recent blog that we shouldn't be thinking of the pandemic as if it's some curse that God has sent, but that we should be looking at it to figure out ways that we can see what God wants to teach us through this situation. You know, every time we go through struggles in life, we should be asking ourselves that question. Why did this happen to me? Not sort of like a pity party, like, oh, why did this happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? That's not the way we ask the question. But why did it happen? Asking why this happened. What is the purpose of this? How can I grow through this situation? What does God want me to learn from this? And one thing I believe we will see if we open our eyes is that God is teaching us we truly need Him. Now, we have become so self-sufficient in our culture. We don't think we need God anymore. Many people cast aside the notion or the idea of God because they believe mankind has all the answers. We can fix our own problems. We are smart and educated. We don't need God to help us with stuff. Situations arise that tell us that something very different is true. A week before coronavirus, only a few people in the world had any clue what was coming. But we're self-sufficient. We don't need God. We can fix all of our problems. But here we are struggling to make sense of all this. What I find is that every time we think that we have all the answers, somehow we tend to mess things up. I don't know about you, but I don't believe that the government can fix everything. I don't believe that education and science has the answer and the solution to every single problem. Sometimes we deal with things in life that need something more, something on a spiritual level, something that is beyond nature, something that is supernatural. Now, we all act like we don't need God from time to time. We act before we pray. We plan before we ask God. We speak before we consult God. And we all do this. I do this. You do this. We all do this. But James reminds us that we do need God. We need God in every day because even in this self-sufficient world, we realize that without God, we are lost. And so here's the big idea of this message today. The only way to truly survive is to trust in God. I pray that you will put your trust in God. James reminds us that in life, we need God. We need God desperately. We can't do this without God. And when we do follow God, He will bless us. But friends, when we act as if we are self-sufficient, when we act as if we don't need God, bad things are going to happen because God is going to let us see what life is like without Him. Now, we're going to look in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17 today as we continue this series called Faith Works. And we're going to break this passage down into five quick thoughts. And each thought will coincide with a verse that we're reading. Now, we know we live in a world that prides itself on its self-sufficiency. In other words, the idea we don't need help. We can figure all this out on our own. And James explained the self-sufficient mindset. First of all, he explained, self-sufficiency is when we are planning without God. If you want to look in your Bibles to James chapter 4 and verse 13, we read these words. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Now, to most of us, as we're reading that, that just sounds like somebody making plans. But I think James is making a deeper point. When we consider our future and we don't consider God's will, we're being self-sufficient. All we do is look at what might happen, how we could make money, and we make all these plans, but we're never asking God. We don't even care what God's will is. We don't even care what God has a plan for. It is amusing how often we make plans without ever seeking God or His wisdom. Now, one of my favorite songs is that old Frank Sinatra song, My Way. And as I think about that song, I'm reminded that in a lot of ways, it is sort of the mantra of self-sufficiency. Here are the words to several of the verses. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I've traveled each and every highway. And more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, and then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. And the last verse is this, for what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has naught to say the things he truly feels and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and I did it my way. Now that message is, I don't need anyone. I don't need anything. I don't need anybody else's plan. I don't kneel before anybody. I don't need anyone, any God, anything, including God. That message is of self-sufficiency. I make my plans for me and by me, not for God and not by God. I took the blows, but I'm not thinking or considering the fact that Jesus took the blows for me. We don't know what's coming. And so that self-sufficient attitude can get us into trouble, which is what James's next point is. Self-sufficiency is a failure to recognize the uncertainty of life. Have you ever come to realize that life can really take some unexpected twists and turns? Have you noticed that even when you thought you had everything planned out, that suddenly your plans just went into the toilet? I think the coronavirus sort of did that to a bunch of people. And so that's why I think this is the perfect time for us to think about this. We don't have everything under our control. And James reminds us of that in James 4:14. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. We don't know what is coming around the corner. We don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. We may be free of the confines of this coronavirus and the stay-at-home orders in a month, or it could be 6 months. We just don't know. We may have a job when all of this is over in a week or 2 weeks or a month, or it might take a year. We may recover from this financial disaster that many people have experienced in a short time, or we may never recover. You know, those who have contracted this virus have had to deal with a lot of uncertainty. I'm sure if they got the word, and we did have a family in our church, Greg and Janet Robertson, who did contract the virus. And I'm sure when they heard that, you know, there had to be some concern. Am I going to be one of the few that don't make it with this virus? How long will it take me to recover from this? Have I infected other people without knowing it? There's a lot of thoughts that can go through our minds. And this is just with the COVID-19 virus. What about all the other uncertainties of life? Life and death itself are uncertain. I mean, listen, friends, I don't know from one day to the next if I'm going to wake up or if I'm going to die. You know, tragedy may strike at any moment. I could get in my car, drive down my driveway, and all of a sudden something happened and I have a tragic accident. You know, we hear all the time about other people who have gone through these things. And I guarantee you, when they went out that day, they never imagined something tragic was around the corner. James wrote that life is a mist. And it truly is. Even for those who live a long life, it seems like it has come and gone so quickly. Just think about it. Think about your life. Just remember, go all the way back. Think, it's like a mist. And now you're here today. The truth is, friends, we are not in control of this. Even when we think we're in control, we're not. So self-sufficiency isn't working too great. Well, the third thing James reminds us of is that self-sufficiency is a failure to acknowledge God. You know, we live in a culture, in a world that disdains the idea of God. It doesn't take a genius to see this. I mean, just watch some athlete who's just won a great victory, and the reporter sticks a mic up in their face, and the first thing they say is, I just want to thank God. I want to thank Jesus Christ, my Lord, for doing this. Now, later, when you see the replay of that, they're going to edit that part out. Scientists like Bill Nye, the Science Guy, oh, he is so cool. They go out and they publicly and proudly mock people of faith and the idea that God is real. They just look at us and they look at God as ridiculous, and people are foolish to trust in God. Bill Nye comes across as some hip teacher who makes science fun, and then he uses this platform to trash people of faith and the God that we believe in. And friends, if I was you, I wouldn't let my kids watch Bill Nye, or at least I would be there so when he trashes faith that I could at least have an answer for it. James wrote we should respond in a different way to God. In fact, rather than denying God, we should acknowledge God. In verse 15 of James 4, we read, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Rather than just making these plans without God in mind, we should remember, hey, God has a will, and if it's His will, I will be able to do these things. Every day we wake up, every day we take a breath, is a breath that God has willed us to have. If God decided tomorrow that my life would be over, it would be over, and there would be nothing that any human being or any power on earth could do to change that. Rather than planning without God and taking into account the uncertainty of our future, we should recognize God's will in all of this. Notice this isn't saying that we shouldn't plan. I mean, we all probably need to plan, but it is simply reminding us not to plan without the will of God in mind. What if we make all these plans and then God reveals to us that our plans don't fit into His plans? What do we do then? Do we move forward without God with our own plans and go in our own direction, regardless of what we believe, or do we change direction? I would hope as followers of Christ, we would change direction. We would go where God wants us to go, where He has clearly laid out a path for us. And when we acknowledge Jesus as Lord, the Bible promises us that He will acknowledge us before His Father. And so we need to understand that. We know that one day, whether people believe now or whether they don't believe now, but the Word of God has told us that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that again includes even those tongues today that deny him. But we live in a world where that belief is becoming less and less popular. Instead, even in James's world, the self-sufficient person did not want to acknowledge God. Instead, and this is our fourth point, instead of acknowledging God, the self-sufficient person is characterized by boasting and bragging and arrogance. If someone believes that they are, for all practical purposes, their own God, where does that leave them? If they don't acknowledge God, what other options are there? Well, it leaves them with this option. They have to believe that they're their own God. They're their own boss, their own Lord. Worship themselves, boast and brag about what they have done and what they're going to do. Even though they have no power over the future, they'll brag about what they're going to do. James saw this in his own culture when he wrote in verse 16, "As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil." We certainly live in a culture where boasting and bragging is commonplace. I mean, just watch a basketball game. When this virus is over and we get back to life and you watch some games, and boy, if they had those players mic'd up, which they don't do that, they would get in trouble if they did. But most of what you'd be hearing is a player bragging about how good he is and what he's going to do to the next guy. I think about the Titanic. Man, what an impressive ship. In her day, one of the largest ships ever built. She was 882 feet long, 92 feet wide at her highest point, 104 feet tall, and she weighed 46 tons. She could accommodate 2,453 passengers and crew. It was said of her that even God could not sink her. But we know on her maiden voyage, she struck an iceberg and sank in a little over 2.5 hours, carrying with her over 1,500 people to the bottom of the ocean. Friends, I'm not saying God caused that to happen, but isn't it foolish for us to thumb our noses at God because one day we're all going to face him? To think that even God couldn't sink a ship, or to think that we don't even need God because we're so good, we're so athletic, we are so knowledgeable, we're so rich. None of that stuff matters. We should recognize now that we are not alone. We should acknowledge now that we don't have all the answers and we cannot do life without God. Because one day we're going to answer to God. You see, James taught the fifth thing, self-sufficiency is actually sin. I know that sin is an unpopular subject, even with some religious teachers and preachers, but the truth is, until we come to recognize sin and what it does to us, we will never recognize our desperate need for Jesus. I believe those who think they don't need God are in a way trying to dilute the power of sin in their own life. And what I mean is this, they don't want to feel guilty. They don't want to think that one day they're going to be held accountable. They don't want to go through life trying to figure out right from wrong. And they don't want to believe that they need anyone or anything beyond themselves. So what do? They deny God. If there's no God, there's no guilt. There's no judgment. There's just doing whatever you want to do to make yourself feel good. But doing what feels good is not necessarily good. And James writes in verse 17, "If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." To know what we ought to do and not do it is sin. I ought to acknowledge God, but if I don't do it, I sin. I ought to plan with God in mind, but if I don't do it, I sin. I ought to trust in God more than I trust in mankind or myself, but if I don't do it, I sin. Friends, sin is ever present, isn't it? Every human being is infected with it. We are all sinners who have fallen short of the glory of God. And friend, you can deny it. You can argue against it. You can shake your fist to heaven and shout and scream all you want to, but it won't change the truth. God created us. He gave us free will. We use that free will to sin, and sin has its consequences. There is guilt. There is damage done to relationships. There is pain we experience in this life. There is a lack of peace. There will be judgment. James has painted a pretty bleak picture of what happens when we become self-sufficient, that we think we don't need God. God is the only one who can help us with our sin problem. We can't fix it ourselves. God offered Jesus as a sin offering to pay the penalty of our sin so that we would not have to pay it ourselves. I want to encourage you, reject the self-sufficient mindset of this culture and this world. Put your trust in God who loves you and wants to save you. Acknowledge Jesus before it is too late. And if you do, you will survive. Remember, the only way to truly survive this life is to trust in God, not in man and not in yourself. Father, we come to you today because we trust you. We know that nothing surprises you. You knew all about this virus before it ever came. And you know how we're going to overcome it. We know that you know everything there is to know about our life. And so we trust in you. We ask you to forgive us for acting like we don't need you. Forgive us for making ourselves the gods of our own lives. Father, teach us to make our plans with you in mind. Teach us to recognize the uncertainty of life. Teach us to acknowledge that understand things, that you are God and creator. Forgive us for our boasting and bragging. Take away our arrogant attitudes. Help us to understand this is sin. We thank you for grace and mercy. May we come before you with a humble heart and seek you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, friends, we want to really encourage you to take some time with your family right now to enjoy communion together. Spend that time talking about your need for Jesus. Take some time to pray. Remember, God loves you and he has not forsaken you. And thank you for hanging in there with me on this sermon today. God bless you. Hope to see you soon.